Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the ALAC Leadership Team mid-monthly call taking place on Thursday, 9th of February 2017 at 2200 UTC. On the call today, we have Ellen Greenberg, Tijani Benjena, Leon Sanchez, Holly Rage, Cheryl Langdonor, Ilya Lansepuro, Julie Hammer, and Olivier Crepon-Leblon. We have received apologies from Gisela Gruber, and Maureen Hilliard will be joining us soon. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Ariel Liang, Evin Erdoğdu, and myself, Yeshim Nazar. Finally, if I could please remind everyone to say their names before speaking for the transcription purposes. And over to you, Ellen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have any comments or questions on the agenda or any other business? Hearing nothing, seeing nothing, we will accept the agenda as posted and turn the call over to Ariel Liang to look at the policy issues.
Thanks, Alan. This is Ariel Liang speaking. So we don't have that many things in the pipeline, and there's one that Alan drafted. It's the ALAC response to CCWG accountability workstream to SOAC accountability subgroup questions. So that one is on the wiki now, and we're soliciting comments from the ALAC members and RELO leaders, but so far I don't think we have got that many input yet. So if you can take a look at that and provide some input on the wiki or direct email to Alan, that would be great. And then the second thing that's in the pipeline is, of course, a large review draft report, and we all know the public comment close date is the 24th of March. So I think there will be a part of this call dedicated to discussing how ALAC is going to respond. So I'll skip that now. And then the third one that's also ongoing is the GNSO initial report on the IGO-INGO access to curative rights protection mechanism policy development process. And the public comment close date is March the 1st. I did send an email to the ALAC and asking for volunteers to look at that public comment, but nobody volunteered so far. So, that's pretty much all for public comment.
Thank you very much. I did attend a briefing on that the other day, and they seem to be taking a minimalist and quite rational approach, essentially saying, pretend that the rights that IGOs have, INGOs they're excluding altogether, they're essentially private organizations that can use standard copyright or copyright and trademark. And for IGOs, they're essentially saying pretend that their trademarks and telling the URS and the UDRP to handle them under their normal rules, factoring in the differences between them. And they're addressing the fact that an IGO may not want to use a national court because that essentially says they are subject to national laws, and they're providing a way of doing that using an agent. So they're taking a very minimalist, very rational position. I don't think we have any real thing to say about it. And I would suggest, unless someone has a strong feeling otherwise, that we not comment on it. Any thoughts on that? I have one other issue to raise.
I was in my agreement on that, Alan. That's all I wanted to register.
Thank you very much. The other thing is, what is the status of the draft budget and operational plan and budget? I thought it was supposed to have been published by now. I don't see it listed on the list. What's the status? Does anyone know? Staff or any other one? Anyone else? Or Tijani, who follows these things more than I do? Anybody? No?
Hi, Alan. This is Heidi. I'm
going to be
contacting Xavier or someone else in finance right now, and I will let you know. Good question. It should have been out.
I thought it should have been out already, and I vaguely remember I saw something published, but I don't remember for sure.
Okay, I'll get back to you shortly.
Okay, thank you. Anything else on policy issues? We'll revert back to it if there's any news. And we'll go on to any updates from liaisons. Do any of the liaisons on the call have anything they want to report, discuss, raise, or whatever? And Uriah has his hand up. Go ahead, Uriah.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. This is Uriah Lansifor speaking. I met Thomas in Tallinn the other day preparing for Euroleague. And he said he actually suggested an item for the joint ALAC-GAC meeting in Copenhagen. That is to say, GAC is now renewing or reviewing their stand on geographic names. I unfortunately don't have any details so far, but. If we would be interested in exploring this first in this joint meeting of the leadership teams at some point in February, I think that the staff is preparing that call, and then in Copenhagen, I could try to get more details on what their thinking is. Thank you.
Thank you. My gut feeling is this is one of the issues, perhaps one of the few, but certainly one of the issues where we're diametrically opposed to the GAC position. Government representatives tend to take a pretty strong view that no one should be using their name without permission and, you know, going through whatever process. And we have generally taken the position that we believe there is no confusion, and names should be made available. But it's certainly something we can talk about. I'm not sure we're going to see a lot of change in either side on that, but it might be an interesting discussion. Maybe one of the things that, just to show we're not in lockstep. Anyone else have any thoughts on that?
Alan, if I may?
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Cheryl, for the record. Sorry, I can see my laptop at a distance, but I'm actually trying desperately to water some plants before they all expire in 42 degree heat here today. I think there's enough, but yes, I think we should have that on the agenda, Yuri. I think that's an excellent idea, because there's a number of layers on this that we need to look at. Certainly, the work done and the interim report, which will become a final report out of the use of country and territory names as TLDs, will be out soon for public comment. So it probably will be something that is worth a good discussion over the Copenhagen meeting. And my gut feeling is, having worked on that and its predecessor for many, many years now, that there will be aspects that we are likely to be more in agreement with GAC than has been typically characterised. I am concerned also that now that particular cross-community working group between the CCNSO and the GNSO and the rest of us has pretty much turned up its toes, that when the conversation about use of geographic and territory names comes into the subsequent procedures for new GTLDs, that if they take the advice and if they actually start a somewhat separate process, that as is often the case, Alan, and something you've complained about over many years, the sheer weight of brand and industry interests in that working group is going to far outweigh and therefore unfairly bias outcomes compared to the probable interests of end users and to a certain extent, governments and local governments. So I just think we need to look at where there is a nexus and work out, you know, where we agree and where we don't agree. Thanks.
Thank you. Just for the record, I did have my interview with the CEO today, and one of the issues was that he was focusing on is how does one resolve policy issues when things come to the board with various sides saying different things. And, you know, I gave my standard answer of it's going to be really difficult, because just reverting it back to the GNSO does not mean you're in a position to really debate something and come to a compromise. I'm curious, however, of you're saying you think there'll be more nexus than the past. I wasn't giving a value judgment, but in the past, the ALAC has come down pretty strongly in most cases, maybe all, but I can't remember for sure, where country names or country codes were being talked about, that we opted for more liberal rather than more restricted. So I'm just curious where you think there'll be more of a nexus.
Well, for example, exact matches to countries in are likely to have the at-large residences of those countries a little more concerns than not. I can assure you the Australian population and Internet Australia as a peak body and an at-large structure would take a relatively dim view of some Wisconsin teenager running, dot Australia.
Well, we're not talking about top-level domains, though, I don't think.
We are talking about top-level domains.
Okay.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Okay. I wouldn't have thought that's even open for discussion again. Okay, it shows I haven't been paying attention, so I will shut up for the moment and turn the call over to Julie had her hand up. Leon, were you wanting to speak about countries, or I suspect Julie was talking as ESSAC liaison.
Thank you, Alan. Yes, I wanted to speak about the country code names.
Okay, then why don't we go to you briefly and then go to Julie.
Thanks, Alan. Just to say that I agree with what Cheryl said, that we might be more in line with the GAC this time. I've had access to a draft document from the GAC representative in Mexico. He sent it to some people here that they know that are interacting with an ICANN, and of course I'm one of them. And the proposal from the GAC seems quite reasonable to me in regard to the country code names for next top-level domain rounds. And I think that even though we have had more liberal positions in the past, these draft default rules that they are trying to actually propose seem very reasonable to me, and in fact they are pretty much in line with the trademark law with which I'm familiar with. So I guess, yes, it's maybe too soon to tell, but I think that we will be more aligned with the GAC on this.
Okay, thank you. Just for the record, I think we've always supported at the top level having the restrictions. I don't think there's ever been any disagreement there. It's at the second level that I think there's been more of a split between the two. But in any case, Julie, go ahead.
Thanks, Alan. Just wanted to give the group an update on where I believe the situation is with the EPSRP, the Extended Process Similarity Review Panel issue for IDCC-TLD Fast Track. It's almost incomprehensible topic name. You might recall that there's been some to-ing and fro-ing between the CCNSO and the ESSAC on this, and sadly, with some, I guess, not particularly happy interactions. The EPSRP was proposing a secondary set of evaluation criteria for proposed IDNC CDLDs where they had been been judged under the first evaluation criteria to be, confusing and rejected, and this second lot of criteria gave an opportunity for that to be reviewed. What the ESAC was doing in SAC 084 was saying we don't agree with these next set of criteria, which would enable IDN CCTLDs to be approved that had actually been rejected by the original criteria. So there's been a number of documents back and forth between the CCTLD, the CCNSO and the ESAC. Those documents in the ESAC were published as SAC 88 and 89. I believe where it's now at, although I haven't seen the document, is the CCNSO has basically gone back to the board and said, we don't agree with what the ESAC has said, and over to you to agree the set of criteria proposed as EPSRP. So that's where it's at the moment, and I think the board haven't yet considered that issue. I haven't seen the document that the CCNSO have sent to the board, although I'm not sure whether it's a public document or not, and I'm not sure whether Patrick's seen it. So that's about where that issue is at. Thank you.
Thank you. The ALAC comment on it was more for the CCNSO and the faster path than against. You'll recall the ESAC report was published after we submitted our comment. The question arises is, do we want to rethink that formally and take any position on this or not? I'm not proposing this group discuss it right now, but is that something perhaps we should be discussing in Copenhagen, and is that too late?
I think it would be useful to have Maureen's view on that. I mean, it's difficult for me to say, well, you know, ALAC should change their minds, or, you know, I don't know. Maureen's perspective would be really helpful here.
Yeah, I guess I was really addressing that at the ALT members, not the liaisons, who I understand perhaps have to take certain positions, even if you don't agree with them sometimes. But I'm not saying you don't. So that question was aimed more at the other people, and it doesn't have to be answered today. But if it's going to be put on the Copenhagen agenda, then we really need to do it sooner rather than later. And if Copenhagen is too late, then we need to know that also. Cheryl, go ahead, and then we'll go to Maureen.
Thank you. Just to encourage the ALT to consider positively putting this as part of their discussion with ESAC, and in fact probably CCNSO in Copenhagen, would be, from my point of view as one of the co-rapporteurs of Work Team 4 out of the subsequent procedures for new GTLDs PDP process. Only earlier today we had our primary meeting of that sub-team relating to matters of IDNs and new GTLDs. And one of the changes we made to our current consensus text language was to encourage some form of collaborative effort to start soon and run in parallel with the PDP process running on new GTLDs to look at a couple of issues. This could very well be one of them, but it includes things like single characters and security and stability of those as well. And we added, surprisingly enough, supported by me, that the ESAC should be part of that collaborative group if possible. So I think if ALAC could, have its thinking clear as well, that might be very useful. Thanks.
Thank you very much. anything further on that subject? If not, I'll turn it over to Maureen, not necessarily to defend a CCNSO position on this, but just to give any report or whatever you like.
Thank you, Ellen. Can you hear me?
Very well.
Oh, great. That's fantastic. Just a small comment on the ESSAC issue. I do understand that the CCNSO did reconsider the issue as they were requested, but although they may have made, they sort of like indicated that there was some change, I'm not sure that it was any significant change, and their justification was that others had agreed with their original decision. But the discussions that they had in the council didn't give me an idea of what those changes were, if any were made at all. So I can't sort of like comment too much more on that. Sorry.
That's fine.
But next, WAFA was officially endorsed in her role as the CCNSO liaison to the ALAC at this morning's meeting. And up till now, I've been providing the brief ALAC reports to the council, and so she will take that over. And I was expecting WAFA to be at this meeting because she's the .mobi liaison, is she not?
Yes.
Anyway.
Well, the liaisons that are formally invited to this are the liaisons to the ACSOs, not to other groups.
All right. Okay. And the final thing is that if it would be possible for us to sort of like raise some topics for the agenda. I don't know if those have been finalised from our point of view, and that they would like to get some idea of what it is that we would like to raise at that meeting on Sunday at 5 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and we'll cover that or go into that in perhaps more detail when we get to that item. The only thing that I'm curious about is you said that WAFA was appointed this morning?
Yes, it was sort of like an official, I mean, it was mentioned at the last meeting that they just had the vote and that she had been, you know, select chosen according to the vote, but that her role was going to be officially sort of like, because I didn't realise that my name was actually down to write an ALAC report until I sort of like just happened to be going through the agenda, and I sort of like quickly sent them a very, very brief sort of like overview of our activities and what was on top for us. And WAFA will take that over next
okay.
meeting.
Okay, thank you. The reason I ask is I received official confirmation from Bart 2 days ago that she had been named, so mildly curious. I will point out that although Bart notified us and John Jeffrey, this is not an official position in the bylaws. It was always essentially a courtesy position. So it's interesting that it seems to have evolved. In any case, anything else from Maureen? If not, do we have any other liaisons who want to say anything? You're not obliged to, and we have used up the time, but you're welcome to.
Alan, Cheryl here. The only thing I wanted to mention is that the final agenda for the GNSO meeting on the 16th of February has only come out earlier in my today, and I have not, there's been a few phone calls going on instead, analysed it or posted it or looked at it in great detail to see what may or may not affect the ALAC, but I will alert on the list if there is something.
Yeah, I was curious to hear yesterday that on the Sunday they are breaking at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and taking the rest of the afternoon off. I thought that was rather curious. In any case, let us go on to the next subject, and that is that large review. Nothing going on there, we all know. Holly or Cheryl?
I'm happy to start, and Cheryl, if you just want to fill in. First of all, in the meetings, we will be, this is the working party, we had a meeting yesterday. We will be meeting every week up until Copenhagen, the idea is that from now until Copenhagen, we, as a working party and anybody else who is interested in the ALAC community, to develop pretty much a pretty close to final submission, so that when we get to Copenhagen, we've got a document that's pretty close to finalization, because Copenhagen is going to be probably the last opportunity for a face-to-face meeting before the submissions do. That said, in terms of meetings, as I said, we the working party, will be meeting once a week to develop that submission. And in Copenhagen, as we had discussed, there will be a meeting Sunday, and that will be with the ITEMS team. It will be all of the ALAC community, and I say that deliberately to be as large and encompassing as I can, will be invited to participate. It will be an open meeting, so clearly there can be spectators, but its aim is mainly for us to interact with ITEMS. One item I forgot, there will be a webinar which is open to all. I think it's the last week in February. I haven't seen a confirmed date, but for anybody interested, that will be open to all as well. The second meeting in Copenhagen will be just for ALAC, for the working party and all other interested community members to finalize details on the submission. There will be a third meeting. It's not something we organized. It's something that the Lars and the SIC team organized as a workshop open to everyone. That agenda was circulated yesterday, and it had a fairly misleading title as a discussion on the empowered membership model. I think all of us have made clear that that's a totally inappropriate title, and that's been taken on board. It will not be called that. It will simply be called a workshop for ITEMS generally, to work with ITEMS on discussing the review. The date after that will be the submission for the submission date for us, for ALAC, to develop a submission. Now, what all of us, what was discussed at the meeting yesterday, would be how we form the response. What I have done was actually develop a list of topics that were raised by the review, in which we can put comments. It was made very clear that we also need to respond specifically to the recommendations. So what I am doing now is putting all of the recommendations against the topic headings, and it's becoming a very interesting document, because it shows that for some items there are like four or five elements, a couple of recommendations, a couple of implementation findings, all on the same topic. And obviously any answer should be developed around those four elements as one item. There are other areas where there is discussion in the review, but there doesn't seem to be a recommendation or an implementation statement about it, but nevertheless the issues raised by the review. So there will, that will be, I will be circulating that an hour or so after this meeting, just as a kind of template, so that we can organize our thoughts and so that it will be very clear what the recommendations that they are proposing are and where they fit and how we can respond to them. There will be a very small leadership team meeting on Monday and then another meeting on Wednesday or Thursday, Sydney time, and that will happen weekly just to develop. So there will be a wiki where everybody is most welcome, and I urge everyone to participate. But there will also be Google Docs, and the reason for two is it provides a maximum opportunity for everyone in ALAC to read through the document and to develop the response. And clearly we want as much response as possible. So even though it'll be a little bit difficult coordinating what's on the wiki and what's in Google Docs, It was decided that we have to ensure that there is a maximum opportunity for everyone to participate. Cheryl, have I left anything out?
No, you've covered it pretty well, Holly. Cheryl, for the record, excepting when you said everyone in ALAC, of course you meant everyone in at large, but that's fine.
Yes, I do. Sorry. Thank you. Any questions?
Yes. I happen to have my hand up. Cheryl just covered my third item, that you didn't mean at ALAC, you meant at large.
I mean everybody.
Two other brief ones. I wasn't worried about the title of the session. I was worried about the fact that's what they wanted to talk about. That is, they wanted to sell the empowered membership model as opposed to review the whole report.
Usurping, perhaps?
No, that's not a word we would use here for that. But there's a word very close to that. Anyway, taking out that one aspect of the report and trying to sell the community, clearly implying that we didn't buy it and maybe they could get support somewhere else, I thought was highly inappropriate. Presenting the whole report, I think, is quite reasonable and the norm. So it wasn't so much the title. It was the fact the title was accurate that I was worried about.
At least the title will be changed.
I want to hear that the content has changed, to be quite blunt about it.
Well, you and I are going to sit there and monitor it, mate.
Well, no, they're probably going to do it during something else that we have to be at. Heidi, is it against the ACSO working group reports, or may it be against inappropriate use of the domain name system?
So there were two times discussed, the first being against that the ACSO report, and the second one was they would remove the ATRT3 meeting and in its place put the at-large review. But they're still working on it, and we'll let you know as soon as...
Okay, but what would it be against?
Okay, give me 1 second to look at that.
Yeah, I was really worried that if they put it against the one on inappropriate use of the domain name system, that's a real conflict between the two, between us.
Oh, I know, I know. Well, look, I think we just have to draw straws and make sure that one of us is there. And I want to be at every single time they open their mouths, frankly.
And given your job as co-chair,
that's
appropriate. But I think we need other input also, and it shouldn't be against something which is of very high interest to at large. That's almost deliberately doing it behind our back.
Yeah, well, anyway, look, we'll deal with that,
okay.
I think.
Well, but I...
So, Alan?
Yes, Heidi, go ahead.
So, again, the first choice would be there'll be a conflict between the cross-community session, SOAC, and TDP WG updates. The other one, it would be a conflict between the cross-community session towards effective DNS abuse, mitigation, prevention, and response.
Can you make it clear to them that if they pick the latter, we have a major, major conflict?
I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Any further comments on the review? It's going to be an interesting time. I see Olivier has his hand up, Corey.
Yeah, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. Can you hear me correctly?
We can.
Yes.
You can. Okay, excellent. Thanks. I was wondering regarding the treatment of the public comment period, but the public consultation. As far as I understand, the input that the consultation will bring will go to the consultants, and it's for the consults to take it into account. I'm concerned of one particular point, which is that they might say if there is a single ALAC response or at-large response, they might say, well, that's the usual thing we would have expected from at-large, and they might brush this aside. Would it be worth asking our at-large structures who subscribe to this, to the points that we are making, to independently also send a comment so that we... Because we've seen in the past, and it's been just very silly, saying, oh, well, 6 people said yes in their comment. 2 people said no. No matter how big or small the organization or the people are, whether they're individuals or whether they're just large organizations that are commenting, and they say, well, the ALAC said no. 1 person or 2 people said yes, and therefore we're going to go with the majority. We're going to go with the yeses. So in short, what I'm suggesting is that we get our ALSs to also respond to this review and to comment on this, or maybe comment on specific points. Is it worth doing this? Is it worth maybe even preparing bite-sized ideas that our ALSs could comment on? I don't know. I'm just throwing ideas here. Thanks.
May I give an opinion, Holly?
Yep.
There is a danger in a single response being treated as one response, regardless of who it comes from. On the other hand, if we encourage 50 ALSs, then what's the expression when you try to get a write-in, a campaign for everyone to contribute a form letter that says the same thing? There's an expression for it. I can't remember.
Cats herding is what I think.
No, maybe that.
Yeah,
there's something. There's something else.
Chinese whispers too.
So I don't think there's any good way around that.
I think the term you're looking for, would it be filibustering that you're looking for?
No. There's an expression.
No.
It was used during the .gay discussions when 49 different organizations wrote the same letter or close to the same letter. Anyway, it'll come back.
Olivier, could I say, first of all, there are not only 12 recommendations, there's equal number of things called implementation, and there's a big discussion on the EMM. I think it's a big ask to ask anybody to come up with a response. I think at the very least, it's going to be a lot of work for everybody. I want everybody to contribute. Now, we can put out ALAC, the people can issue letters of support and what they are particularly supportive of, but it's going to be a big job just to get one thorough, well-reasoned response. And the danger is if we ask for more, they'd be saying maybe the same thing, maybe not, maybe going off in different directions. And I think that would also be a danger. So I hear what you're saying. But remember, this is just their report. It's a consultant's report to the board. We will have plenty of opportunity to work on our submission, to expand on it, so that by the time it goes to the board, we will have a lot to say, and we will have agreement on what it is that we say. And I think it's probably more important to convince the board, and then dealing with the Structural Improvements Committee, working with them on implementing. So ITEMS is, remember the Westlake report in many respects basically was just not followed. So there is plenty of precedent for a rejection of what is proposed. And what we need to do is make sure we have a cohesive and strong argument to say, we don't think that will work, here's why. And by the way, we have much better models of achieving the same outcomes. But that's my opinion. Look, I'm just so much aware of how much work it's going to take to come up with one really good submission.
Yeah. Thank you, Cheryl. By the way, Uria did get the term. It's astroturfing. You can always trust a non-English,
yeah.
A non-native English speaker to come up with the correct English words.
But more than that, he's a journalist at heart and in practice,
well, that
so
too.
That makes a difference.
Cheryl,
Cheryl, for the record, thank you very much. Cheryl Linton, off the record. Look, I actually believe that at least making sure that our ALSs and individual members throughout RALO have the opportunity to contribute, as Holly said, is vitally important. I think any of them who have the time, the energy and the inclination to put in individual and independent commentary should be encouraged, not discouraged. But I also think there's a reasonable opportunity for us to ask the at-large structures and individual members, and indeed the RALOs themselves, should they wish to be overtly listed as a signatory. That's a rare thing, but I think that could be a powerful thing to do. It's something that did take influence when NCUC did it once. Unfortunately, they listed so many people that some people like me just went and checked on who they were and what activities they've ever had, and that caused other problems. But if we actually have real ALSs and real individuals, it could be quite powerful. From that end, we also need to make sure that we do treat this, you know, Holly was saying, you know, there's plenty of other opportunity, and I know Tijani supports a multi-pronged approach with us working on all the levels possible on this, and I support that too. But I don't think we should take the importance of having a powerful response to this draft in public comment recorded. My rationale there is, yes, the precedent is there, Holly, as you outlined, but the whole thing about changing the way reviews happen and the whole thing about starting a new process now on looking at standard operational procedures for reviews is because they don't want to spend money on independent consultants and then ignore their advice. So it's not a done deal. We can't actually predict how this board and the Structural Improvements Committee will respond to the items report. It may very well be they take it hook, line and sinker. And unless we're on the record, then that's going to make our arguments rather more difficult indeed then. Anyway, that's my thoughts. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Tijani, go ahead. Cannot hear you, Tijani.
Thank you very much, Alan. Tijani speaking. Several points. First one, we are still using the work party mailing list to discuss our things about our response to the review. I asked that we create a list with only the working party members only, without items and the staff. Not all the staff, I mean, MSSI or SMMI, I don't know. I say that because we are trying to find how to counteract the report that we find not beneficial for at large for the community. We are not. There is no harm for anyone, but we have our reasons to make a strong response to this report, and this can be done among our members only or our community only. Yes, we have an interaction with the items, but we do it when we have the interaction with items, we do it. But our own things should be done among us. And I hope that this list is created very quickly and that we use it for our exchange regarding our response. First point. Second point, they are proposing a workshop in Copenhagen. And they want this workshop to be about the MM. They are trying to sell their EMM. And they are right. It is their right. But we also have our right to be in this workshop, and so that it will be more or less balanced. So I think that we have to ask to be part of it. As they have a presentation, we will have a presentation, and we participate in the debate, so that it will be balanced. It will not be, if you want, a campaign for the EMM without response from us, or without an opportunity for us to develop our reasons. Thank you.
Thank you. Olivier? I'll skip over me and go back to me afterwards.
Thank you, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. And
I was going to suggest one thing. There are some parts of the report that particularly affect our at-large structures and our RALOs, the EMM model being extremely high in that respect. And I wonder, you know, if you look at, you read the report, it's so always highly critical of the ELT that it wants to abolish, that very discussion that we're having now, you know, to try and sound things off with the chair so the chair doesn't just feel by themselves and having to make all decisions. Whole thing where they want to put RALO chairs as in charge of policy as well at the same time, and of course the whole thing of putting the EMM model with those members that would effectively, I guess, have the same sort of status as an at-large structure. I mean, why don't the RALOs also each send in a statement regarding these issues? Maybe we could, as a group, frame these issues, and we could get each RALO to send a copy of that to and say, you know, these are the points that we want to make. And so that's then five voices rather than just one voice to start with. And then getting the at-large structures to specifically reject the idea that individuals would have the same status as them and that there are checks and balances that an at-large structure performs which an individual doesn't, and the legitimacy of an at-large structure being, I'd imagine, perhaps having a bigger depth than the legitimacy of an individual that has been around for just 3 months. Well, let alone 3 weeks.
Can we not discuss the content of the report here, please?
Well, I'm basically just saying we need to wage a campaign, Alan. This is not just a thing where one statement is going to do anything, and every battle counts. This is the art of war. This is Sun Tzu, and we do have to think about this quite strategically. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, Olivia, I wasn't arguing that. It's just let's not make this the diatribe against the specifics of the report. Okay.
I'm just giving examples of the points that, you know, RALOs might wish to pick up and things. That's all.
Okay.
Thanks.
If I may summarize, and we do have to move on because we have a rather packed agenda and we're very over time now. On one thing, on the presentation, I think we have made it clear and hopefully successfully that it will not just be on the empowered membership model. If they want to present all aspects of the report, that is fine. And that is the norm for any sort of review of this sort, that there is a public presentation discussing it. So I don't think we can argue with that as long as it is going to be a discussion of the full report. In terms of the mailing list, I thought there was closure within the working party that we should have such a mailing list, but we haven't actually taken a formal decision. Holly and Cheryl, do you want to go ahead with this? And I would suggest a mailing list that's composed of the working party at large members, the rest of the ALAC internal list who are not otherwise on that list, and the at-large support staff who are heavily involved in aspects of the report and in supporting the community in this way. Does that sound
reasonable
to you?
I'm happy to do that.
You know, it's
happy to do that.
Look at, yeah, just
fine.
Have a look at the chat. I've asked Ariel to do it, and she's doing it.
Let's make sure that when we do it so we don't have to redo it again. I will make sure that Ariel has the right list.
Okay. She's doing it as we speak, actually.
And that might be problematic.
Okay. Well, okay. Let's just say heard what was requested, and the first request is, as per Tijani, ITAMS people and sick people are not on it. It's just for the at-large community.
May I suggest we take this offline?
Yep. Well,
thank you.
Please. Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda, if there's nothing more on this item, is the report from the BMSPC. I can hear you, Tijani.
Ah, okay. So you didn't give me the floor that That's why I didn't speak. Okay. So, the MSPC, as you know, now we have the final slate of candidates. We started our work seriously. We made a consultation among the candidates and the community on the ways they want the interaction to be, and we collected all the point of view. Now we are implementing them. We put a wiki page for questions and answers, and we will have a teleconference on 14 of February at 13 UTC for the community to for the candidates to make statements, to present themselves for maximum 10 minutes, and then give the floor to the community to ask them questions, whether they are a follow-up question of the questions sent on the wiki, or they are new questions, or they are the same questions can be repeated because the answers were not convincing or were not clear. So it will be a full interaction between the community and the candidates, and we put for that 2 hours. I think it is more than enough. So now we are there. During this period, there was a lot of issues raised. One of them is the petition and how the RALOs decided support or not support the petition. And now there is also a discussion about the direction of the vote of the RALO chair, because in the rule of procedure it is written by vote. But they say after that, according to their rules. So it was understood for the petition as being any kind of decision-making in their rules, and the RALOs used that, since most of the RALOs used the consensus call and not vote. And now for the RALO chair vote direction, some of our RALO chairs are asking, since it is written by vote, why I think that we have to have a consultation about this. It is exactly the same as for the petition. So this is another point that we will have to clarify for the upcoming selections, and we have to modify the rules so that it will be very clear what we mean by this this paragraph. So now we will not discuss it again, since it is, we are in progress, and I hope that the interaction will work well. And 21 of February we will start the vote, the election. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tijani. Any further questions or comments? Seeing none, hearing none. Next item is fiscal year 18 budget request.
Leon,
go ahead, Leon.
Thank you very much, Alan. Thank you very much, Tijani. Just a question on the voting will start on the 21st, as far as I understand. But my question is, for how many days will this voting will be open?
The vote will be open for 7 days.
Thank you, Tijani.
Tijani, you may want to consider slightly less than that, because if you need a second vote and you're supposed to have time in between the two, you really don't want it to run into when people are already traveling. So you might want to consider a slightly shorter vote to allow time between the two, because otherwise we're running right into the travel time for Copenhagen.
I understand. I understand very well, and I think that it was discussed, this point. It was discussed inside the BMSPC, and we decided that it will be 7 days, because 5 days might be short because of the direction of the vote of the RALO chairs. Since people wanted to the process of defining the person to whom the RALO wants its RALO chair to vote, can be during also before the starting of the election and during the first part of the election. So that's why we decided to put it at 7 days. After, if we put it for 7 days, 21 plus 7, it will be 29. It will be 1st of March. So we will have, if we want seven, if we want to have 5 days only for the second round, if we need a second round or if we need to run it again, we will have, I think, time before Copenhagen. We will have at least the first days of this period will be before traveling of our community.
Yeah, just remember you do have to allow time between or reconsultation, something we haven't done in the past, but the rules, I think, made that clear this time.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Good, it's good that you did consider it, and whatever the choice is, that's up to the MSPC. Any other further questions? Then we'll go on to the next agenda item of the finance and budget. Just to be clear, we are about 25 minutes behind schedule at this point. Finance and budget met this morning. The vast majority of the requests have been either finalized or sent back for very minor changes from the recipients. And Heidi, are you comfortable that you will have received them all in time to submit tomorrow?
Yes, this is Heidi. Yes, I will start taking a look later today, and then I will dedicate most of tomorrow towards them.
Okay.
Okay. And just a quick, if you're interested, the Sandra has submitted one already to the controller for the continuation of the chairing skills program for the ICANN Academy.
Okay, thank you. There are 24 requests in total. 8 of them under the name of the ALAC, and the rest, the other 16, spread over the RALOs. And a fair number of them are ones we don't expect to be funded, but hope someone will fund along the way. There is a 25th, which might be submitted, and that's a resubmission of the ability to use liaison travel funds at our discretion, where we never quite got an answer that matched both the text and the intent, and Heidi is checking to see whether we have clarity on that. If we don't have clarity, we'll just resubmit it again. That's always a lot of fun to do. Any questions, comments? I know many of you are on the finance and budget and have already looked at these to more than you probably want to, but if there's any questions or anything, then feel free. Give it a moment for hands to pop up or voices to come out of the blue. And seeing nothing, we have just gotten back a bit of our time. Item 8 is the ICANN 58 at-large schedule. And Gisela is not with us today, but I will turn it over to Heidi.
Well, thank you.
Even though she's I'll turn it over to Leon. Yes. I'm sorry. Heidi's not listed as the speaker, so she's not allowed to speak.
Sorry. Leon, over to you.
Thank you.
And I have not. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you very much. We've been working closely with, of course, Gisela, Heidi, Alan, and myself on the schedule for our meeting in Copenhagen. And I think we're pretty much done with the scheduling. We still have a couple of slots that are not quite settled already. But as you can see, we have on Friday, we have the CCWG meeting. And I think that the only two slots that are pending, if I do recall well, are whether we're going to hold a meeting with the registry's constituency, I think, and with the commercial stakeholder group, and that will be the two slots that we still haven't managed to confirm whether we will be holding those meetings or not. Other than that, you can see that we have, as usual, a very packed schedule. we have been careful in taking care of not overlapping any meetings, and we have also been careful of providing with some wiggle room so that we can move from one room to another when we need to switch rooms. And I see Heidi's hand is up. Heidi, would you want to speak?
Yeah, I just have some comments that I have been directed by Gisela to to relay to you. So should I go ahead and do that?
Yes, please do.
Okay, so this is, I'm being asked to do this. Okay. Okay, she wanted to point out that there are still the following modifications to be made or requested and that are not reflected on the schedule yet, and that is, let's see, on the 11th, Saturday the 11th, 8:30 to 9:30, we have the Cross-Community Committee on Accessibility. An amendment still to be made is Sunday the 12th of March, 1700 to 1830, we have the ALAC and CCNSO. The requests to change to 1700 to 1800 as CCNSO are not able to extend until 1830. Added Wednesday the 15th, 1230 to 1330, and end users in ICANN, a topical discussion with at-large. And this is a URALO form of capacity building. Olivier will be the moderator. And then she wanted to confirm, ask you to confirm, Tuesday the 14th, in the afternoon, the ALAC work session part 1 and 2. Do you want that changed to ALAC and Region Leaders working session part 9 and 10? Alan, Leon.
Sorry, reading out schedules to me does not make it, I'm afraid.
Sorry.
No way I followed everything you said.
So basically, just so in sum, there are some changes that are not reflected on that, on what you're seeing in the on the AC. And secondly, then for the ALAC work session part 1 and 2, do you want those the titles changed to ALAC and Regional Leader Session Working Sessions part 9 and 10 to have that whole series, you know, because we're now naming them 1 through X. So do you want
why were they why was the renumbering started?
You mean to part 1 and to part 9 and 10 or whatever?
Well, you're just saying should we rename something 1 and 2 to something 9 and 10. Why was the
basically
numbering restarted?
Well, in the past, the ALAC, way in the past, several meetings now, Tuesday sessions used to be called work sessions. And now do you want to shift those to stay in line with what is happening all day Saturday and Sunday to working sessions, to ALAC and regional leaders working sessions?
As far as I know, every ALAC session is an ALAC and regional leaders session. I don't think there are any ALAC exclusive
ones. Yes, on Tuesday there were. So I'm taking that to mean that you want them to be shifted.
I don't believe we ever consciously excluded the regional leaders and told them to take the day off. But
correct,
I may be wrong, but I do not believe we ever intended to do that.
Correct, but the title indicated only ALAC. It said ALAC working sessions.
Okay, well, at one point we called it ALAC and regional leaders, then we changed it to at-large leadership, and now we're changing it back because that's confusing people.
Yes, so no. So basically just the Tuesday sessions. We're talking just the Tuesday sessions.
They are continuation of the weekend sessions.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. The only exception is the wrap-up session is called a wrap-up session because that's deep in history and we're not going to change tradition. All right. Leon, I don't know if you were finished or not.
Good. Well, practically I'm done. I don't know if going through each of the sessions is the best use of everyone's time, but I can tell you that if you scroll through what we have in our screen, you'll see that there are practically no overlaps between any of the ALAC sessions and other working group sessions. Of course, we may have some overlaps for liaisons. For example, GNSO, CCNSO, we may have some sessions that might be overlapped, but we've taken care of trying not to actually do the same mistakes that we that we did on previous scheduling. So I think that this schedule is pretty neat, and we will be circulating the last version as soon as we have the last changes incorporated to this spreadsheet.
Yeah, thank you. I'll point out there are critical and heavy overlaps between any of us within at large and who also happen to participate in GNSO PDPs. The schedule in their wisdom, now that we don't have any sessions outside of the window of ICANN, the fact is that if you're not GNSO, you are significantly disadvantaged and may not be able to participate or have to give up something in from your native home. I find this exceedingly problematic for having open and fully participatory PDPs, but that is the way it has evolved. Two comments.
Yes, I agree with you in that alone. Sorry, I agree with you with that, and that's something that, as you said, that's the way it is, and there is little we can do to avoid that kind of overlap.
And I had the discussion yesterday on a chair's meeting. Some of you were there, and the chair of the GNSO said, "Well, that's what we decided." And, you know, that really just says, we don't really care about you participating. Sure, you're allowed to. Good luck trying. Cheryl, I'll give the hand to you. I just wanted to note two things. Number one, this schedule that you see on the board there is really neat because of the color coding. I've never seen anything like that before. And the color coding is even such that if there are joint session, it has both colors. I find this really easy to look at relationships and overlaps and things like that. That's mm-hmm. point number one. Point number two, I'll point you to one interesting conflict. You may recall during the discussion of the last meeting, there was a high-interest topic that basically said legal counsel should defend themselves and you know, how they interact with the board. That got changed to a John Jeffrey question and answer session, which apparently worked out very well, and they have now scheduled this year, this meeting, a question and answer session with ICANN senior executives. Unfortunately, they have scheduled against everyone's wrap-up session, which I think is rather poor planning. Cheryl, over to you, and then Heidi.
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl Engdahl for the record. I just wanted to alert Leon and the team that, to my knowledge, despite what chairs of GNSO may or may not be saying, GNSO staff, with the leadership of at least the subsequent procedures for new GTLD's working group, are still fiddling with what we may or may not have when and shifting things about trying to reduce internal clashes. So the GNSO is far from settled on what goes when, but I can guarantee for some of it, cloning would have been a nice thing. Thank you.
Thank you. And Heidi, you took your hand down. Do you still want to speak?
Please see your Skype. Basically, just I was going to go on to the next, but as you're the chair, I will allow you to do that.
No, I will let you do that.
Okay. Well, let's move on then. So basically, again, this is still, not the final schedule. So I just wanted to point that out. And so the next things that we need to do, obviously, is then start talking about the agendas. And as soon as this is finalized, we're going to put that up onto the wiki page, our normal at-large wiki pages, and we'll start populating the agendas. However, before we do that, we need to see what the results of the survey that was sent out a few weeks ago to see who you would like to see. So we're going to pass it over to Ariel to take us through the results. Ariel?
Thanks, Heidi. Oh, great. I was going to share my screen, and Yashin already pulled this result up. So thank you so much. And you can scroll this document on your own, and I will just do a quick overview of that. The first document you see is the speakers that must be invited, and then the respective topics to discuss with these speakers. So not surprisingly, the at-large review related speakers are the most invited. Almost everybody wants them to be in the at-large sessions. And then the next follow are the CCWG co-chair, and then David Olive, and next is the GSC people, and Duncan Burns. So these are the ones that have the highest scores.
Ariel, can you just hold on? Can anyone see the display?
I can see it.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
You can maximize your screen.
Heidi, are you saying you cannot see it at all, or it's not the letters
I'm
are not legible?
I'm seeing a gray blob.
Log
anyway,
back
okay.
onto Adobe Connect. It happens
probably.
Sometimes.
Okay. Bye.
All right. The questions. I thought we asked questions about do you want things on the CCWG not to invite the co-chairs. I don't think that's quite the same thing. Certainly we are going to have substantive discussion on some of the Workstream 2 issues. Does that really translate to inviting the co-chairs to have them speak to us? I could turn to one of the co-chairs. I hope we're going to have substantive content discussions, not hear a summary from somebody. No one else cares.
I agree with you.
I'm sorry, well, I got distracted for a bit. What was that, Alan, again?
The item we seem to have asked is should we invite the co-chairs, and there was pretty strong support for inviting the CCWG co-chairs. I thought the question we were asking is should we be discussing the CCWG, not inviting the co-chairs. I support the former, not necessarily the latter, although one of the co-chairs presumably will be there as part of the discussions.
Okay, now I get it. I'm sorry. As I said, I got distracted with some...
I mean, as important as co-chairs are.
No, I believe that... the invitation is, of course, well taken. I am not sure whether Mathieu and Thomas will be available for this. I will surely be there, as you say. And I do agree with you that it would be best to discuss whatever we need to discuss on the CCWG rather than just inviting the coaches.
Thank you very much. All right. David Olive and policy development contents. I look at this and I look back and in the sessions where we have discussed, you know, overall update on policy and stuff like that, those have not been either well attended or or responded with a lot of questions and things. So I'm really curious at these answers. Maybe I'm the only one. Anyone have any thoughts?
Yeah,
do we
Alan,
do we want to blindly implement this, or do we want to think about how we're really using our time? I'm a little bit concerned with how some of these answers things have been answered. Yes, go ahead, Heidi.
So in the past, David has come to along with Sally Costerton, and those have been interesting sessions, I believe, and I think that's what people are commenting on, in my view.
All right, that's not what the sub items. Say under his item, though. All right, we will take it under advisement and try to make something that works given the overall time we have. Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. I share your concern, Alan. That's all.
Thank you very much. We are 15 minutes from the end of this meeting. I don't know how many people could stay late. We have a number of really important issues to discuss. So, Heidi, can you take us through anything else that we need to regarding ICANN 58 quickly? Heidi?
Sorry. Just that's really all for me. I think, Alan, if we can... start talking about the agendas, then we can present that on the next ALT. Olivier, you may wish to very briefly talk a little bit about the outreach plans from your RALO side that you're working on.
If Olivier is still with us.
So, okay, basically there are two items. One is, as I mentioned, Alan, is the URALO plans for a topical session on policy that he is going to be having on Wednesday. And then the second point will be a plan for a URALO NCUC event. I believe that's going to be on Saturday. And that document and the plans are still being finalized. I think that's
okay.
In some.
Thank you very much. Any further items on ICANN 58? Seeing nothing, hearing nothing. Next item is the ALAC appointments, and I just want to tell you where we are in a number of these. On the auction proceeds, we should have a recommendation for the ALAC, I hope within the next day. Tijani is taking charge of it for reasons I won't go into. And hopefully we will have consensus. I don't believe you've had any negative comments from anyone on the selection team, Tijani. Is that correct? Maybe we've lost Tijani too.
Yes. No, I am here. Yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
I didn't receive any negative comment.
Okay, perhaps send them a 24-hour warning so we can do it. We really have to name the people before the next meeting. And that's in two weeks, but we need to do it before then for a number of reasons. We have a potential interesting situation in that Jonathan Robinson has said he will resign as soon as the GNSO can name a replacement co-chair. The issue is perceived conflict of interest in that his employer, Affilius, is one of the parties in the dispute over .web, which is the source of 60% of the money we're talking about, and that is perceived as a potential conflict. In my mind, it is no conflict whatsoever, but he is worried about optics, and he has taken that action. I find that exceedingly unfortunate. Ching Chao is currently an interim chair, and I'm not quite sure what the plans are for the CCNSO to name a permanent co-chair. As you know, our opportunity for a co-chair disappeared, and this is not nearly as solid ground as I had hoped it would be at this point. I don't think there's any action we can take on the very short term. On the .NGO Community Council, we did have a number of applicants. The selection committee will be looking at them next week, deciding if we want to, which ones of the applicants, if any or if all, that we want to forward to the to PIR. That doesn't require intervention of the ALAC because we decided it would simply be the selection committee doing the triage. The final selection is done by the PIR nominating committee. So. The RDS review is going forward. It might be a restricted scope or might not. We're not sure at this point. It's not a really positive situation. And the call has gone out for the ATRT3 and is open for another while. It looks like at this point the CCWG members will be recommending that it be an abbreviated format. It's not clear exactly how we enforce that since the review team can make its own choices. Unfortunately, again, before we know what the scope is, the call for volunteers has gone out by staff. It really shouldn't have gone out until we know what the scope is because we get the wrong people applying, but it's happened again for the third time. If I sound unhappy, it's because I am. I am not the only person to be unhappy. That's all I have to report at this point. Any questions before we go on to the next item? The next item is the one I brought up at our last meeting, that we are continually faced with things that are just not happening. They're not explicit action items, but they don't happen. The classic example right now is we reinvigorated, we thought, the GTLD working group. We have named co-chairs. We are no farther on than we were before. It's not the only thing. The staff for the last while have had a project list, and Heidi has offered to open it up to the ALT to both look at and to add lines if necessary. It's on the screen right now. You have a URL in the chat, and we'll send it out via email also. And people look at that. Can people look at that? And, you know, do you think this will help? And if so, let's start using it. If not, we need some other mechanism. We just can't afford to have things fall by the wayside without even a conscious decision to let it happen. And I know everyone is overworked and overwhelmed, but it's an issue we have to do. I don't want to spend a lot more time talking about it right now, but do look at that project list and see if you think our types of the other types of things we're working on will fit well in that structure, or we need to propose something else. Next item is staff announcement. Hi, Heidi, yours.
Yes, yes, thank you. So if we could put this document in the display. So this is just to announce some staff changes. So there you see where we are. So we have gone from an A team, and you'll see that the past team will remain honorary members, but we are now going over to an A-plus team, and wanted to let you know some changes. So basically, the key changes, we have now have Natalie and Terry moving over fully to the GNSO to help support the huge hole in their support made present by Glenn's soon-to-be retirement. Now, we do have some pluses coming in. We have Yeshim, who has now moved 100% over to at-large. We have Evan, has now fully gained her training, and she is already supporting meetings, et cetera. She's now, for the most part, 100%. And there may be in the future that she would be reduced to 70, but I'm going to see what we can do about that, if Evan agrees. And we also... Ariel is now going to be going from 100% for at-large over to 50%. Now, the 50% that we are losing her is going over to Rob Hogarth's team, the E3 team, where she'll be working on communications and other activities. But fortunately, if there is desperate need for her technical skills, et cetera, we can bring her back for those projects. So that's a good... That's a good possibility there. Now, we also have on the call for the first time our new person who is going to be with us for only 15% for the time being, and that is Mario Elements. He is on the call. Many of you may already know him from his fantastic work with the fellows. He's already been working as a contractor for the ESSAC and the ARZERC. So if we could just have him say hi just very briefly, and that he will be supporting calls post 1800 UTC and on Friday. So you will start seeing him on the list and on the chat starting tomorrow. So Mario, do you want to just say hi?
Yes, thank you, Heidi. Hi, everyone, and I'm very happy to be here, and I'm glad to actually be joining you soon.
Thank you. Will you be in Copenhagen?
Yes, I will.
Great. That was Alan speaking, by the way.
Yeah, so Alan, Mario will be in Copenhagen, but he will not be working with us because we now have Evan full-time there working with us, so we should be in full staff there. But he will be there, and perhaps if he has the time, he can come and introduce himself to at-large.
That would be nice.
Yes. So basically,
that would be,
we go as
much Go ahead, Heidi. I'll wait.
Yeah, I'll just finish, and then I'll pass it over to you. So then, again, we are currently at, we were at the A-team, we were at 5.15 FTEs, and now, given Evan's 100%, we are at 5.65 FTEs. And I remain hopeful but that, you know, we may see some more. So I just wanted to announce that to you, and back over to you, Al.
Thank you very much. You can also invite Mario to any of our parties if we have any.
Of course. Yeah, I think he's been to them, but of course, yes.
Well, but if we have an ALAC dinner or a staff dinner or something like that, then that would
definitely
be nice.
He's part of a team.
I've said this to you privately, but I'll say publicly,
Alan.
Now. We have, on occasion in the past, had really good people, and as soon as it's demonstrated that they're really good, they go off to the GAC or go off to the GNSO, and it's a trend that I find discouraging. That's not to say all of our good people go off. We still have people who are really good here. But we seem to be a training ground for people sometimes, and I hope that will not be the case with Evan. And it was the case with Terry and Natalie. We know we slowly lost bits and pieces of her till we lost all of her. It's really a discouraging thing that the ALAC is used for new people, and then when they get good, they go somewhere else. So let's hope we don't see too much more of that. Tijani.
Well,
yes.
I wasn't asking you to answer the question.
Thank you. Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. I am really, really sad to know that Ariel will be 50% only with us. I have worked with her in the previous board member selection, and also for the current one. And she is really, really, really magnificent and a superb collaborator, superb staff support. I really disagree that we accept that she is shared between us and another. I don't understand why every time we have someone who is really performant, we lose it like this. Also, Natalie, who will be in charge of the ALS in the future and the ALS due diligence and application?
Okay.
She knows very well the job. Now she is gone. We have to train another one to take the job. So I want to express my sadness to see that Ariel leaving us. Thank you. Not leaving us, but be shared between us and the others. Thank you.
Thank you. And Heidi, I see your hand up, but let me say two things first. First of all, we do have some really good people who are still with us. And let's, you know, look at the 100% that we have in the top of the list. So that's number one. Number two, I am plotting to figure out how we get Ariel back. So let's leave that on hold and not make any more comments on that one at the moment. And lastly, having spent many, many years as a manager, you have to think about people's professional development and their careers also. And there are times when you give up someone and give them a good recommendation, although you would dearly love to keep them, because that's what they want or what's better for them. And I think we have to take that point of view also. I've already made my nasty comment that we don't want to train everyone and then lose them. But the reality is sometimes that is exactly what you have to do. So we have to balance all of these things. Heidi, go ahead.
Yeah, just along those lines. I mean, I fully agree that. I hope my staff would agree that I'm a keen supporter of professional development. And you know, I do want to say that the new people are excellent. I'm thrilled to have Evan and Mario on.
Have we lost Heidi?
Oh, dear.
Can you not hear me?
Now we can.
Okay, sorry. I've been saying wonderful things about my staff. I've been saying, you know, I'm just along with what you're saying, I'm a keen advocate of professional development, but I'm also thrilled that we have, you know, new talent coming in, and you can see already that they are top as well, and I'm not using A-plus lightly. I truly do believe that we're going to go from strength to strength with these new, our new team. Thank you.
Thank you, and I don't disagree, which is why I was rather perturbed when I saw that reducing to 70%. Evan, close your ears, because we don't want to embarrass you, but it would be nice. Well, she's not on the call anymore, apparently, or at least not in the Adobe Connect. So I can't embarrass her, but so far yes, we would not like to see that reduced to 70%. May I go on,
yes.
However? We do have some,
yes.
Hands up,
yes.
Some hands up, and we are very over time. Anything else on the staff issue? The next issue is an in-camera item. I do not believe there is anyone in Adobe Connect, and I can't verify on Adigo that is not part of the ALT or their advisors. Can I have confirmation from that? And if we could stop the recording and note that the chat should be interrupted, and we'll go into an in-camera session.
I'm confirming with your operator. Okay, we're out.
Thank you very much. The ALT had a brief discussion regarding personnel on one of their review teams, and as is our practice when we're talking about individuals, we do not have those discussions in public. No decisions were made. Thank you. Is there any other business? Seeing no hands, hearing nothing, thank you all for your attention and your input, and it's been a good meeting, albeit long. And we'll try next time to not have it run over. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank
Thanks
you, everyone.
Everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you all. This meeting is now adjourned. Have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye.